Get it?
Dean Special Report. Now reporting.
How about doing ENN then?
This is ENN, don't you know?
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Well, yeah, but what do I care about underwear trends?
That's right.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, what happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN on this, a Thursday evening on The K Show. I'd like to start off today, if I can, and I will, and I shall, by saying good evening to Michael.
You're an idiot, your sister smells, and she's ugly.
And I'd like to say good evening, if I can, to Donald.
I like a lot of guys.
Right.
Yeah, that's gonna make a deep run.
That's gonna live forever.
RJ, do you mind as we start off ENN today, if you have stuff in front of you, whether it's Michael, Don, or myself, do you see a few of the drops that have come up over quarantine and recently that you think could be potentially high seeds come March?
It's called Buttercloth.
You're banned. How about that?
Whoa.
I never dated a Judy.
Low becomes the first player to hit two opposite.
It's not low. It's Low.
I used to love to go head first.
This was worth
all of a sudden, you're a clock watcher, okay?
I like a lot of guys.
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Tay Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, because they said everybody.
No, Blake.
Stop capping. What does capping mean?
Considering the disparity in name value. I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
Don's got a great man, Michael. This streak, when it's all said and done,
there'll be nothing left to say or do.
The Don Drop Madness streak could end up like the Bill Russell Celtics of the 60s.
Yeah, this is like 80s Islanders, you know,
yeah.
Canadians of the 70s. This could be, because I got three in a row, going for four straight.
Yeah, to me, the number one seed is still Stench in Mamaroneck. I don't know if it gets better than that. Rosenberg Radio on your Twitter and Instagram. If you want to say hello, reach out.
Okay.
Let's start off with Daniel Jones.
Shall we?
Danny Dimes.
Danny Dimes talking about the situation with Golden Tate, where his wife was on Instagram talking nonsense, plus Tate was upset with him on the sideline. Here's Daniel Jones. Did he take the attack from Golden Tate personally?
No, you know, I have a ton of respect for Golden, and you know, he's a close friend, a close teammate, and he's made a lot of plays, you know, over these last couple of years, and certainly have a lot of trust in him as a player. So certainly value our relationship, respect him, and he's a great player, and we'll keep trying to get him the ball.
All right, Don, you know the Giants very well. Do you really believe Danny Dimes and Golden Tate, Warrior, are great friends?
I don't know if he would. No, I don't.
Okay, then we're in agreement.
I tried to be the good talk show host, but no, you know, and that's not to say that they don't get along.
No, I'm not saying that they're enemies, but great friends that's a special heading for a relationship.
He's throwing great out the way I throw great out. Right?
Well, he changed it. He changed it from friends to teammates. That happened for sure.
In the middle of his answer.
Right. He adjusted it. If you listen.
I think he swerved out of the way of great friends.
Listen, go back to RJ. Let's hear that one more time. Let's hear the adjustment on the fly.
No, you know, I have a ton of respect for Golden, and you know, he's a close friend, a close teammate, he's made a lot of plays, you know, over these last couple of years, and certainly have a lot of trust in him as a player. So certainly value our relationship, respect him, and he's a great player, and we'll keep trying to get him the ball.
So went close, from close friend close to teammate. Close teammate in half a second.
Well, yeah. I think, Peter, we've had this conversation about Michael many times.
Yeah.
I consider all of you friends, but there's only a few that I believe that friendship would continue to exist if we didn't work together. I get the sense that, we're friends, but if Golden Tate got traded back to Seattle, then they would never talk again. Right? Fair?
Absolutely.
It's like, well, Michael, if Michael ever moved on, we'd never hear from him again.
You think that would be I
No, no, I would call you for holidays, but I mean, we wouldn't be, you know, we wouldn't hang out.
The friendship would be affected to where we talk every day to where it would be every once in a while.
Well, we talk every day now for pay. I mean, you don't call me like before the show.
Well, hold on real quick. I just want to get this clear in my head. You would go, it would drop right to, we would just hear from.
Merry Christmas.
Wow.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
He means text.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't call. Texting's the greatest thing that ever happened. It takes away the long phone call.
So we really.
Happy birthday, Don. February 13th. Yay. Hope you're doing well. May you live as long as you want. Never have to watch as long as you want.
Oh, my. You just start giving us catchphrases?
And sending Oreo cake.
Well, if you did that, actually, I'd consider that pretty kind of you. Wow. Well,
I really believe, and I don't want either of you to take this the wrong way, that when it's all done at this radio station, I'm going to be exhaust fumes. You'll never hear from me again.
Thank you, Michael. It's really
touching. I don't know why you say that with such pride
and
because
joy.
It's the way I am. That I think it's a strength for me. I'm able to cut bait and not look back.
But why?
That's why. Breakups in relationships never really slayed me. Like Peter buried himself once when he broke up with a girlfriend. He put himself in a coffin.
Well, it's happened a couple times now.
To me, it's like a Band-Aid. Boom. Okay, it's over. It was.
Have to be? Like, I don't understand why it has to be.
Has to be what?
When I stop working with people, that means I stop being friends with them.
You weren't friends with me before the show.
No.
Okay.
So 20 years of working together, nothing was built.
No.
Where it just goes right back to where it was prior to
nope.
20 years before. It's like it just goes right back to that. So that you're
the same stranger he met.
There are friends, and then there are work friends. Work friends.
See, this bothers me because it kind of looks like it's a transactional relationship. Because before we worked together, you had no use for me. You used to hate me. You told people I thought it was.
Well, when I only knew you as the Yankee announcer, as a Met announcer, and I'll never forget that day driving over the George Washington Bridge, listening to Mets Yankees at Shea Stadium, and you said you used to go to Shea Stadium in 1973 when the Yankees played there, and you'd have to go home and take a shower. You were so disgusted being there, and I'm like,
not 73,
that's not a good
74
guy.
And 70. So please,
that's not a good
guy. Get the insult right.
That's not a good guy. And so then I met you. Then I met you at Yankee Stadium. I was filling in for Sweeney. And I guess you had gotten wind that on my IATA show, I was going to have Goose Gossage on. And you came over and said, you got Goose on the show. Good job. I'm like, Michael K. talked to me. That's nice. So that day, that sensation, Peter, of Michael K. talking to me in the press room at the old Yankee Stadium is what our relationship will be if we stopped working together. So 20 years of working together, no traction, nothing gained.
No, instantaneously, you become the same stranger who he was assigned to work with because you were the yo-yo doing his updates. That's
right,
it.
I was there just in case the line dropped.
He's the guy. I all of a sudden become the guy who met him at a Knicks game once. And he doesn't remember it to this day because I was nothing. I was useless. I was garbage. And that's... Wow.
Andrew becomes a young kid trying to get by in Syracuse. RJ, I think, was like a freshman in high school.
Probably in diapers.
It's like that. It's like a strange like a movie. Like as soon as we all leave, we just all of a sudden zap back to whatever we were in 2001.
So sad. Let's hear from Daniel Jones also. He was asked if he cleared the air with Golden Tate.
We communicate, we talk, but that's between me and him. And like I said, I have a ton of respect for him.
Okay. So
how do you think that sounded, Peter?
I think they sound like they're doing great.
But what do you think the conversation was?
That's a good question. Hey, man. I really would appreciate it if you didn't yell at me in front of all the guys like that.
Take a walk, Danny.
All right. Thanks. Can you tell your wife to delete the Instagram, please?
No. I don't tell my wife what to do, especially when it comes to you.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tate. Take care.
I think every answer that Golden said was, just give me the ball. I didn't notice, but somebody said they went back on Twitter and watched the touchdown, and he said into the camera,
"Oh, I noticed, yeah, he's throwing me the ball." And it, and then one time that he didn't get the ball, he turned to the sidelines and screamed, "Get me the damn ball," channeling Keyshawn Johnson, who wrote a book by that title.
Wow. All right, well, it is what it is. Let's move over to the other dysfunction in town, and that would be Adam Gase talking about Sam Darnold and the possibility for him to play against the Patriots on Monday Night Football.
What are his chances of playing on Monday?
Right now, I feel pretty good about it. It's just going to be about if we have some kind of, if something doesn't feel right, you know, when we do get him out there. I think his mindset is, you know, it'll take something not feeling right for him not to play. You know, we just felt like this was a chance to give him one more day of rest. Being able to do the third down red area stuff is, you know, something that we always want to make sure that he feels really comfortable with, which that'll be the next couple of days. So we'll kind of see what happens after today, how he's feeling.
All right. I know we like to jump him, but if he feels okay, then I guess it's all right for him to play. Right?
Yeah, I guess.
And he said if he doesn't feel right, then he won't play. But I guess he feels okay. But I guess we'll see it. Well, all you're asked to do in that offense is throw the ball 5 yards, Peter, so I can't imagine it's going to be that strenuous.
That's a very good point.
Well, that's a great point, and it's nasty, too.
Well, and, like, the question is, does he have enough in his legs to run away if he's going to get killed, you know? And can you throw the ball down the field 5 yards?
If this guy gets hurt, further injures his shoulder, I'm going to be really ticked off. Really ticked off. I don't know why he's playing. And then they keep giving you the malarkey. He wants to play. Every player worth anything wants to play. You have to protect them from themselves.
Yeah, you never go by the player. Like, how would it look if he didn't want to play? I don't want to play on this garbage team. Sit me down. But if he's okay, honestly, if you take what Gase says at face value, if he feels okay, then he should play.
All right, let's move away from the Jets as quickly as humanly possible. But we can't. Because before we do that, we have to hear from Monday Night Football's very own Lewis Riddick.
That's right.
Let's see if you can hear the difference between him and Brian Griese. Here's Riddick on with Greeny, talking about the Jets and the hope they try to sell to their fans.
And it's easy right now to just always look forward and look to what's the next best thing. What's the shiny new thing on the horizon? There's two of them. That's Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. Well, before you get all excited about that, for people to get excited about the prospects of those two, who's to say they could overcome the same kind of environment that Sam Darnold's trying to overcome? Because remember, just a few years ago, Sam Darnold, by many accounts, according to many people, was like a champ. Miss prospect. Nobody in the NFL can't miss when you're dealing with the kind of dysfunction that has been surrounding the Jets. And when you look at their offensive line, I don't care if you put Dan Marino combined with Michael Vick, combined with Lamar Jackson, and combined with Pat Mahomes all in one body. When a guy is dropping back into a three-step drop and getting hit, when his back foot hits on a three-step, because the left guard is so terrible, you might as well put a highway cone out there. How can you evaluate the guy? You can't. So I think it's convenient to go ahead and just kind of spin it forward and constantly be in that mode of selling hope, and no one has done that better than the Jets. Sell hope for the next year. We've got all these picks. We're selling off all of our high-priced commodities, and we're getting all these picks. Look at all these picks we have. We're going to be at the top of the draft. Okay, who's picking them? Who's developing them? That's what I would want to know before anybody talked to me about anything about picks. Who's picking them, and who's developing them? Until then, I wouldn't want to hear anything as a Jet fan. Who's picking them? Who's developing them? End of story.
Wow.
So do you just go, Michael and Peter, when you fire Gase at the end of the year? That's way before the draft, obviously. That as you start interviewing head coaches, part of one of the questions you ask is, what do you think of Sam Darnold? Do you think that this guy is any good? Like, try to use the interview process as a way to gauge whether Sam's the guy or whether you should go elsewhere.
And by the questions. Way, Dom, when you're doing that, there are two ways to go about it. There's the bad organizational way, which is we've made up our mind already. So when we start the interview, we tell them what we're doing and we hear their plan for it. Or you could actually start the interview from an objective place and go, what do you think of Sam Darnold? A, you learn, you get more eyeballs on what people actually think about the kid. And also you're able to get an honest answer about whether this is the coach for you instead of someone who's just trying to tell you what you want to hear.
Because you know if they're interviewing for the job, they're going to want to ingest every piece of information about the Jets, which means go back and watch every game Sam Darnold played so you can answer that question.
And if you were to sit down and say in the interview, hey, Coach so-and-so, I got to tell you, we don't know what we're going to do at quarterback. What do you think we should do? You like Sam? You think we should be trying to get someone new? Get the truth.
Yeah.
Well, I think that if they do get rid of Gase, if they should interview as many people as humanly possible. I don't know why more, like the Red Sox are interviewing everybody and their grandmother for their manager's job. They probably know who they want to hire, but they're picking the brains of smart people. I think that's a really smart way to go about it.
All right. Moving along, there is Thursday Night Football tonight if you want to take a break from vote counting, perhaps.
This could be good because the score, the totals may change during the course of the game.
Niners-Packers. The Niners have no new positive COVID-19 tests. This is a line that started out at like 2.5 at the beginning of the week for the Packers. It is now up to 7. Funny thing is, guys, you know which way I lean towards in being tempted to pick it? The Niners.
I'm tempted the other way.
It's become a big number for a Packers team that has not been great the last
By the way, did anybody realize how hedgy R.J. Bell was about this game?
Oh, my God.
Well, it's either going to be the Packers blowing them out or the Niners winning the game. Okay, how's that help me?
We got to be honest with each other as a family right now. We got to come together as a family and talk about our cousin RJ, not RJ Santillo, who's in the family, but our cousin RJ Bell. This is one of those days when after dinner you go, I think cousin RJ has a drug problem.
No.
So, I mean, is it to the point that you take RJ out in the boat?
Well, I'm not saying you take him out on the boat, but you're worried about him. Because today, Michael could not get a pick from him. And in the end, did you ever get a game pick, or was it still just a total?
He'd give me fakakta total picks. I hate that.
I was about to say fakakta total picks. And by the way, Michael doesn't want total picks, because if you listen to our show, you know, guess what we don't use?
Yeah, but
total picks.
But there are people out there listening to the interview that
he's giving me total picks for halftime. Stop it.
I don't want to kill him, because maybe it's just a tough week. What is he? He's got to love every game. So maybe there's a week you don't love the game.
His job is to pick games.
But that doesn't mean that the games that are presented to you, you're gonna like one of them.
He left me very cold.
I will say this.
I'm even thinking of rowing the boat.
His presidential stuff was interesting.
Because he's talked about something you were interested in.
No, but it was interesting. I didn't know it was illegal to bet on the...
And now we know why, because Joe Kennedy actually knew that if his son was considered... I think a lot of people vote. I don't know if you guys agree with me. A lot of people vote as if they're gambling. They're trying to pick the winner rather than who they really want to win. I think a lot of people go by who's leading. And if the odds were in JFK's favor, he didn't win by... I think he won by 100,000 votes over Nixon.
Mm.
That move might have done it.
Mm.
You ever read like stuff on Joe Kennedy?
Not much.
Not a great guy.
No. I know that.
Ruthless.
I know he's not a great guy. You know who is a great guy?
Me.
J.J. Watt.
And
things aren't good in Houston, but he says he's not looking for a rebuild.
Obviously, I'm trying to do whatever I can to help us win games. I don't think it's any secret that I don't have 10 years left in this league. I personally believe that I do have a few more great ones left in me. But you also can't. I'm not looking to rebuild. I'm looking to go after a championship, and that's what I want to do. So whatever's in the best interest of the Houston Texans, that's in the best interest of myself.
Well, it's easy to not think about rebuilding when you don't have a first-round pick.
Now,
well, they had to feel good. They who's the quarterback that was the mentor? Oh, they signed McCown the other day.
I was going to bring
the Philadelphia practice squad.
Remember, I suggested that for the Jets.
Yep.
But apparently, from reading the article, is that because he was like semi-retired with Philadelphia.
Yeah, he was actually at home, but on their on their squad.
Right, but I guess the reason he went to Texas, went to the Houston's, because it was like close to his house. So I don't know if he would have come to the Jets. But He was available.
He dropped another insane $10 million in his lap. He might.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's hear from Brian Flores of the Miami Dolphins about where things are with Tua Tagovailoa. Are they keeping him as their quarterback or auditioning him for other people?
I mean, now that you mentioned, you know, the quarterback, look, there's, you know, a couple of things out there. Let's call it a source close to Dolphins thinking is saying that, you know, we're auditioning, you know, Tua. And I'm just going to tell you about my thinking. We brought Tua here because we believe in him, same as all the other draft picks. We believe in developing players, and I think you guys have heard me talk about the improvement of players on a daily basis. That would be the opposite of giving somebody a 10-game audition. So I guess that's my thinking on that, just so everybody's clear.
Miami's in a great spot. They're getting better, and because of the ridiculous trade made by O'Brien, they have the Texans pick in the first round.
Right.
In addition to their pick. So if they decide to change quarterbacks, they've got the collateral to move up.
But why?
And the Texans might have the third pick in the draft.
But what happened that they would give up on Tua? He's played one game.
Right. There's nothing. I think Ronan hit that. It was the one who asked that question.
Also, like, just be. What are you gonna do? It was not Ronan. What are you gonna do? Just keep. It's like people think the goal of football should be every year to just trade again and have an opportunity to pick number one again. Like, it's not about winning. It's about how new a quarterback can you get. They have Tua. Tua was supposed to be the greatest thing since sliced bread.
I love how people treat quarterbacks like you listen to the first 3 seconds of a song. Nope, change the station. Mm. Can we see the kid play?
If you knew a guy who treated the women in his life the way NFL teams treat quarterbacks, you'd say he's the worst guy you ever met. He constantly finds a beautiful, talented, smart woman, and after 2 months, dumps her because he thinks there's better out there. It's ridiculous.
And you know what happens to those people? They die alone.
By the way, you're not wrong. You know, my dad was telling me recently that the two guys he knows who are his age and alone, neither were losers. They were both players. Had plenty of options, and those are his two friends that are alone in their 70s.
And at that point, it's over.
I mean,
you're not going to find Miss Wright at 72.
It's harder the other way. My best friend from home, his mom is a widow, and she's trying to date again. And first of all, she has to lie about her age sometimes and say she's 69, because once you say 70, even at that age, guys, men are so superficial that if they're 73, they don't want a 70-year-old. They want someone in their 60s. And then you get a hold of this guy who you're going on a hot date with from a dating app, and my best friend will see a picture of the guy. She's like, oh, what do you think of this guy I'm meeting? And Ben looks at the picture and it's like Grandpa Simpson. You know, his mom is a vibrant, alive woman, and then she goes on a date, and it's some guy named Moisha, who's 86 years old. God bless all the Moishas out there. Let's talk to Woj, shall we? He was on the Putback on SNY, and he talked about the Knicks' offseason and how he does not expect much.
I know people talk about big trades and bringing in star players. I don't see them having the assets to do big trades for big players. And typically those players, if they're coming and if they want to come to New York, they want to come to win. They don't want a team like the Knicks to have to gas every last asset they have, so they're standing in the garden all by themselves. There's a lot of work to be done.
Also, Woj said he was asked, can Leon Rose lure former clients to New York?
See, I think it's logical if you put those pieces in place, and then that becomes something that helps put it over the top. But just the relationship alone with Leon Rose, that's not enough. I think there needs to be a lot more put in place. And then you draw from that trust and those relationships to try to get those players. And again, those players aren't free agents. You'd have to trade for them. They can't just come to New York. But the relationship does help if you've laid the groundwork.
Also,
the Putback is hosted by Ian Begley, our guy.
I didn't know that Woj during COVID was hosting an open mic night with a jazz band. Just getting up there and freestyling a little bit. Skittle-dap, scoop, scoop, Scooby-Doo.
I hate that question, too. Why would people who used to have Leon Rose as an agent want to play? He's not coaching them. They'll go where they get the most money.
Yeah,
that relationship has nothing to do. Maybe they give him a listen when they didn't give Phil Jackson a listen. But you think, oh, I'm going to take less money because this guy used to be my agent. And he took 10% of my money for doing nothing.
Speaking of basketball, guys, we're going to get it sooner than later. It looks like they will come to an agreement on the December 22nd start, according to Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe. The Board of Governors and Players Association are holding separate meetings, and they held them earlier today, to work on getting started on December 22nd and playing a reduced 72-game schedule. So the loss of money just was too much, and they are going. Exactly. So we will get basketball sooner than later. So that's
it's good. Funny how you're diametrically opposed to starting at that date, but okay, if you want to start when you start, then you're only going to get like 57% of what we owe you. Oh, let's do the earlier date.
No, because Drew Brees, there's a lot that goes into it. It's like $500 million.
It's a lot of money. Drew Brees downplayed the significance of his shoulder injury, but he was limited in practice today. And he was off to the side with no pads on. He plays Sunday night against Tampa, New Orleans, Tampa. The big.
Do you
Brady
think they'll play Tayshaun Hall?
Well, that's the thing. They don't know if it'll be Tayshaun Hall.
The most effective quarterback was Tayshaun Hall.
Or Taysom Hill. they don't know if it'll be Hill or Jameis Winston. Jameson Winston, if you will.
I think Tayshaun Hall tested positive coronavirus.
What do you mean you think?
Well, he doesn't exist, so I could just throw anything out.
Oh, that's a great point. You mean Taysom Hill does exist.
Right. I would not say that because he doesn't, but Tayshaun Hall, we can do whatever we want with him because he doesn't exist.
NBC, of course, praying that Breeze shows up because the whole thrill of that matchup, New Orleans isn't great this year. It's the Breeze-Brady all-time touchdown matchup that you want to see.
Yeah, that back and forth.
They're going. They could literally be going back and forth through the lead throughout that game. That's the sexy
that's,
part.
Goosebumps.
I think goosebump inducing. That'll do it for ENN on this, a big election Thursday in the tri-state.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Were you surprised that the Rangers signed Strom to a two-year deal? And that he accepted?
No. Well, just avoiding salary arbitration. They wanted to keep him. So
probably smart on his part because, you know, you're reestablishing your value. He probably gets more if he becomes a free agent. But there are people out of free agents now that aren't going to get their worth because every team took a financial hit.
Right. And, you know, it's a $4.5 million cap hit for them over 2 years. They can deal with that. He was really good for them. That was a nice deal they made bringing him in.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.